Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today in the studio, we are going to find out about the Astoria Underground and new tours which are happening. We're going to find out about Jeff Daly, his ventures and adventures, and his partner in crime on the Underground, Chad Gallup, is in the studio too. So, first, let me introduce you to Jeff Daly. Many people may know him because they've seen him driving around in the clown car, the glam tram, or on the joy train.
Beep, beep.
He always has something up his sleeve. Hello, Jeff Daly.
Hi, Donna.
I'm very glad you're in the studio today.
I am, but I have a cough too occasionally. So
all right.
I beg your pardon if I have to do a little...
It's just fine. Many people have coughs this time of year and throughout the year, so no worries. And we also have in the studio Chad Gallup. Hi, Chad.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
Chad is a tour guide. He is a history fan. He's a trolley man. He is on the Astoria trolley, and he's a storyteller working with Jeff on the Underground tours. So before we begin talking about all these different ventures, let's get to know a little bit about each one of you. So actually, you know what, Chad, let's start with you first, please. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, I was a truck driver for about 30 years, but I came up to Astoria about 13 years ago, and I knew this was the place I had to be. I fell in love with the whole place, the town, the houses, the people, the history, and I sold everything. I sold both my houses, came up here with a bed and two dogs.
A bed and two dogs to Astoria,
exactly.
Oregon, because 13
yes.
years ago. Now, how did you find Astoria 13 years ago?
Just went on vacation. I had a friend that lived in Portland, and my family would always vacation up here. And I had never come. It was usually my mom and dad would go. And so we went from Portland. We stayed here for 3 nights. And then I go, hey, I'll pay for the next 2 nights if you want to stay too. So we stayed another 2 nights, and I just knew this was my place to be. And it took me a little while to get up here, but I finally got up here, and I love it. I love this place.
What spoke to you about Astoria?
I probably the history and the wonderfulness, the architect, the houses are just amazing out here, how old they are. I love the ones that probably have been restored that were probably better than when they were first built. And then you have the ones that look like they haven't been touched since 1800s, which are just as amazing and wonderful. And the people here. And, of course, the undergrounds. We all know about the undergrounds. And now you have a chance to go under. Everybody knows about them, is curious about them. And
yeah, so you got right into the spirit of the town by starting to volunteer and get involved because the trolleymen are volunteers, which is great. And as a truck driver, were you doing long-haul truck driving throughout the United States?
Exactly. No, I just ran local in Southern California. I was home every night.
So, all right.
Like that.
So you weren't on those big long trips.
Right.
Okay, so now you're in Astoria, a town of 10,000 with a huge, huge history, way, way bigger than the small town that it is. Okay, Jeff Daly, for those folks in town who may not know about you, although you have a very large presence in this community, you do many, many good things for the town. Please tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, Chad came here and found love and place. Well, I was grown, born and raised here, class of 69, Donna. I left Astoria for 30 years, and I came back.
Yes, you went off to have quite an illustrious career as a videographer in San Francisco.
I was in San Francisco, but the draw of Astoria said, this is where you should come back to, and I do. I love it. I couldn't be anywhere else. This is home. It always has been home, and it will stay home for me.
And the minute you got here, you started stirring things up. You, I think, was the first thing you did, you found the old original clown car? What was one of the first things you did when you moved?
Well, yes. My dad was one of the original founders of the Astoria Clowns back in 1955. And for the 200th anniversary, we had built a little clown museum over in the old Lum Auto Building for a little bit of a display of the clowns and the history. And I was in search of the old original Astoria clown car, which after a couple of years, I was able to find it and bring it back to Astoria from the desert in Shanico.
And you rehabilitated it, and it
yes.
drives backwards, and when people, it brings joy to people's faces when they see the clown car going backwards.
It's not always joy. Sometimes there's a few people that get in arguments with their wives, whether that's some idiot driving backwards or forwards, and it creates some arguments sometimes between couples of which way is that car really going.
Lively discussions, we'll
oh,
say it
indeed.
That way. How's that?
When I'm operating the trolley and I see that trolley car, the clown car go by, I will stop the trolley and explain it and tell people, you got to look at that car go by.
Well, we need more things that are silly and make us smile and laugh. And then you also, Jeff, in addition to that, you have the glam tram. What's the glam tram?
The Glam Tram was something that I got from the Wrecking Yard that was getting ready to be crushed on a Friday afternoon. And good old Paul from Vintage Hardware told me about it. I went out there and I bought it, restored it, brought it back to life. And it's now a people mover that goes around and about of Astoria. It's red. It's open. I don't know if you've heard it or not yet, Donna, but it has some loud music.
It does.
It is a fan favorite of Astoria, of course.
Yes, it is. It has a fireplace on board, an incredible sound system, and so the Glam Tram is something that you also created, which is incredibly popular for cruises and birthdays and weddings, and obviously from people who come in from out of town. And then you also created and built the Joy Train.
The newest addition to the fleet. The Joy Train, which is actually the old 48 American Legion train, that was a parade vehicle that we are used to seeing when we were kids back here in the 50s and the 60s. American Legion, all the different chapters in the area had that, and they would use it for parades. It fell into disrepair. Once again, it was going to be scrapped, and I saw it, found it, brought it back. Took an old 23-foot motorhome, stripped it down to the frame, and rebuilt the train on that modern vehicle. So now it's driving on the streets like the rest of them.
And the Joy Train makes noise.
The Joy Train has, music? It has some music, but it also has some other additions. It has plumes of smoke that go up 16 foot in the air. It's got bubble machines. The kids love the bubble. Actually, everybody loves bubbles.
I mean, and when I hear when you actually...
The bell and the train whistle.
And the train whistle.
Yeah, that's one where they'll say, I didn't realize we had a Union Pacific train in town anymore. And yes, it sounds like the real thing. There's actually two more whistles that haven't been hooked up yet.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's something to look forward to. So, although I do want us to talk about the fact, because I think many listeners will be familiar with the Glam Tram. They've seen it around town. And the Joy Train, which is most recently on the streets of Astoria and all around. But there are some challenges right now with the Glam Tram and the Joy Train, and we would be remiss not to talk about those.
Well, the Glam Tram is currently somewhat retired. I don't think people have seen it on the streets now for about a month and a half. The insurance carrier that I had failed to renew my insurance, so I had to go out and reshop and rebroker it. Which I've done through 14 insurance brokers, and one broker was able to come back with a quote, and it's for $10,000 for a year's worth of insurance.
For the Glam Tram and the Joy Train?
Yes.
Okay, so those are really important assets to the community because right now, with so much tourism in Clatsop County and specifically here on the North Coast and in Astoria, Travel Oregon is looking at mitigation of traffic issues and how do we move people around without having everybody in their cars all the time. So one of the things that that I know about is the fact that we need the Glam Tram and we need the Joy Train, and that there may be some grant money, but that's going to take some time to try to look at that. And what other kinds of things are you researching, Jeff? Because really, the community would be heartbroken, I think, if the Glam Tram and the Joy Train went away.
Well, and it is a fun parade of vehicles that we have, but it also serves a purpose. The Dark Arts Festival that Fort George does, last year we gave rides to over 200 people from the Dark Arts Festival back to their hotels, back to their homes in town. Those are people that aren't driving on the streets. There are people that aren't parking at the venues, taking up valuable spots. Those are people that aren't driving home at the end of the day after having a couple beverages. So there is a true purpose to be able to have the mass transit. And this way you get to do it and have fun, too.
Well, I think this is a bit of a call to action. If you have an idea for Jeff Daly about insurance, about how to keep the Glam Tram and the Joy Train running here in town, because you serve a lot of local people as well as out-of-town guests. I mean, there are a lot of, again, weddings, birthday parties, things that happen. And I know personally, I live in Astoria, and when I hear music from the Glam Tram, when I hear the train whistle, I know people are happy and having a marvelous time in a safe way because they're not, you know, drinking and driving. They're really enjoying our downtown on one of those two vehicles.
They're having smiles
right.
Abound.
That's right, laughter and smiles. So okay, so that's the call out to let people know about the Glam Tram and the Joy Train. And Jeff Daly, how did you decide that there needed to be underground tours? I think it all started with the pit.
Well, it started with the pit. And in fact, the Joy Train.
You better
train,
tell us what the pit is.
The pit. Most people won't know. When I captured the Joy Train, I needed a place to be able to rebuild that vehicle. And I found a place that was what I call the pit. It's down in a parking lot, underneath the parking lot next to Imogen and Cargo across the street from the bike store and across from the Columbian Theater. As I went under this space, underneath the sidewalks, there was basically untouched. They were untouched. It was just like they'd been for the last 40 or 50, 60, 70 years. Now, as a kid, that was my playground underneath the streets. Our parents used to, you know, tell us at 8 o'clock in the morning, all right, kids, head out. We'll see you tonight at dinner. So we would take off. There'd be gangs of us, groups of us. We'd go downtown, and we'd find a place to go underneath the sidewalks, which back in the 50s and the 60s could be almost anywhere. That was our playground. We played hide-and-seek. We played cops and robbers. We could go underground somewhere over on one end of town and end up on the other end of town at Custard King coming up from their basement, ordering a cheeseburger and some French fries, and we had come from seven blocks away, all underground. It was totally accessible. It was fascinating as kids.
And was it dark? Did you need flashlights?
Oh no, we didn't have flashlights. We're talking about the 50s and 60s. No, what I used to do is we would steal our parents' cigarettes. My parents smoked Kent cigarettes. So we would steal their cigarettes, and we would light cigarettes and use those as like little mini torches as we're going through these tunnels. Yeah, we didn't have headlights and AA batteries and all that stuff, so we had to be very creative.
And were you afraid? Did you think, I mean, because there are like ghost stories, that were you afraid when you were going in the underground?
Oh, you're always freaked out. You don't know what you're going to walk around when you turn a corner, whether there's going to be a spider or a six-foot-tall rat, or in some cases, whether you're going to run into a squatter. People lived underground. We had a lot of people that lived underground. Back in the 50s and the 40s, there were entire Chinese communities that lived underground over on Bond Street.
So you were working on the Joy Train in the pit, and you said, wow, there's this opportunity to let people see really old Astoria, the tunnels,
untouched,
the tunnels underground. Because Astoria, I mean, well, and we're going to get into that in the second half of the program about the history of Astoria and why the tunnels are there. And so then you had this idea to do Astoria Underground Tours.
Yes.
And then you had to get some permission, I think, from the city, some permits and things like that.
This has taken about a year and a half, essentially, to put together and try and produce. It is underground. It's dark. It could be dangerous. There are concerns. I had to go through the city to make sure they were pleased with it, that there were the regulations. They knew how to get in and out. People would know how to get in and out, ADA concerns, et cetera, et cetera. They've been very cooperative, and they should be, because this is a great addition to Astoria.
Yes, indeed it is. And I have had some of the tour, which I think is really fun. And, of course, obviously the storytelling that goes along with it is great. Is this the time to talk about the glass tiles? Because I don't know if locals really know the story and the history of those beautiful kind of purple-colored glass tiles that you see throughout town. Could you tell a little bit about what that
is? Yeah, those are what those were. Those originally were the concept came off sailing ships back in the 1800s. When you're sailing around the world on a sail ship, you did not have oil lanterns underneath a boat. You did not have electricity on those old sailing ships. So what they had were these tile glasses that you see on our streets of downtown, but those would be on the deck of the boat. And what they did is they let the light that was the outside come into the dark spaces underneath, and they were going through a prism-like piece of glass. So the light would then reflect around, and it would basically light the interior underneath. When the turn of the century, when they started building the downtown, it was the same thing. There was no electricity underground. So they would install those glass tiles that you see on the sidewalks, which would illuminate underneath the sidewalks where they had storage and where the stores had their basements.
That is fascinating. I'm so glad you explained it, because
and they're not always purple. They were clear originally. Yes, they turned purple over the UV.
Right, over the UV. And now I know artist Jamie Boyd, who's a glass artist in town, has been making some new tiles for the ones that are missing and replacing those. And those are clear. And they will probably age over time and also maybe turn kind of that purple color.
Well, we won't be around to see them change color like that. The ones you're seeing change color now have done it because they've been there for over 100 years.
Yes.
But Jamie's doing cool stuff. She's recycling glass. glass and rebuilding them that way. So it's a pretty neat endeavor that they're doing.
Yeah, no, I think that just adds so much to the character of Astoria for sure. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today we're talking with Jeff Daly, who is the owner of the Glam Tram, the Joy Train, the Clown Car, and he is the creator and instigator of Astoria Underground Tours. We also have Jake's partner in crime in the studio, Chad Gallup. Chad is a tour guide. He is a history buff and he is a trolley man and a storyteller. So he and Jeff together do the Astoria Underground Tours. And Jeff, this might be actually a time when you have a little thing on your website. Oh, and I want to let everybody know that if you want to learn more about the Underground Tours, because he customizes it for families. I mean, there are private tours. There are tours that you can book maximum of 12 people. But to find out more about that, just go to oldastoria.com. That's Jeff Daly's website, and it's just oldastoria.com. But Jeff, why don't you just play the little film that you have, the audio from that that's on your website about the Underground Tours.
City streets. People in cars, in a downtown just like any town USA. Except this isn't just any town, it's Astoria, Oregon, the oldest city west of the Mississippi. A town of 10,000 in the Northwest, rich with history. On the Columbia River, this bustling city was built on piers, and it burnt to the waterline twice in its lifetime. Each time, rebuilt with vigor and new dreams. After the devastating fire in 1922, the city was rebuilt with concrete and brick above the rubble of the burnt town. And underneath those streets of Astoria is where the stories are told.
Ooh, is that not a teaser for you?
That's kind of scary. Yes,
bring me home.
It is. And as I mentioned to you, because of Mac Burns and the Historical Society, and for those of you who are serious history buffs, we do know that Astoria is the oldest oldest white settlement west of the Rockies. Not the oldest city is actually Oregon City. But anyway, those are little details. We're not going to worry about that right this minute. But we are going to start talking about then the Astoria Underground. So just about a month and a half ago, you and Chad opened this up for tours, and you're selling tickets through bound paper tickets. So what happens? And Chad, what is it that attracts you to the Astoria Underground? And what are some of the stories that you tell people?
What attracts me is that we actually get to go underground. I think everybody knew they've always have been there, and it just happens we have the key to the gate that opens it up. And we start out, and it's an opportunity to share the history of the town, that people that live here that you might not know or you might have forgotten, for people coming in from out of town can learn. I mean, we start out, we got to give the history of the city to explain the tunnels, why they're there, how they were there, and we cover all that. We cover a story of burning down in both fires because it was all made of wood, and then finally they did a chair wall construction out of cement. They did that, and we talked about how the fire started, and where our location is actually where the fire started. So we'll show you where it started and talk about how it did. And after that, we'll go under the sidewalks and into the tunnels, and we cover everything from the construction of it. The ghost adventures were out here, and I think they shot 4 episodes. We'll talk about the ghosts and the hauntings. We're all close to those places here that were haunted. And then after that, we'll take you inside, and that's where Jeff kind of takes over. Like he said, this was his playground. This is where he ran around as a kid.
So, Jeff, are there still stores then downtown in downtown Astoria which are using the underground for storage and for things that's part of their business?
Basically, any business that's downtown, they own the sidewalks that are in front of their stores. That's the way it actually works. So they have access to underneath the sidewalks. So if you go into a basement of any building downtown, which a lot of them are open, the Dimes and Deals, the old JCPenney's, you could go into the basement. Underneath there, you could have access to underneath the sidewalks behind the walls. Now, in the old days, you had access to underneath the sidewalks and the entire underground. But after the 60s, there were some issues that came up. There were some people that started getting underground, going around from stores. They started doing some lifting of items and goods. And eventually they had to seal off the entire underground underneath all of the streets, underneath all the tunnels, to keep people out from stopping from stealing, and also for safety reasons, too. It's not the safest place in the world to be underneath a street in the dark without lights, where there's places like propane gas, methane gas that can hit you, find you. You can't smell it or taste it. It can be quite dangerous. So the city is very concerned They keep people out of the underground. They don't want people there.
Well, but you have now vetted all that. You've done all the safety checks, and people wear hard hats, and you take up to 12 people at a time. And so how did you figure out that this would be something people would be interested in, and how you could do it safely and explain the history and take them into some of these places underground?
It's quite cool. I would say 3 out of 4 people that would come down to, quote, the pit, my little underground garage, they would always sort of meander over and look through the side going, well, what's this area? And I'd say, well, that's underneath the sidewalk. What is all that stuff in there? I'm going, well, it's stuff that's been thrown there for 100 years. And people would start rummaging through. I got to go look.
Oh, because that's right. Sometimes people would find like a marble, or they'd find some special thing that had been there a long time.
Exactly. When you think about Astoria, it burned to the waterline twice. So the soil that we stand on in Astoria, the dirt we stand on, the streets we stand on, there are 2 previous Astorias that are underneath our feet that were burned and bulldozed and built on top of again. I like to say, just think of it was like the old ant farm where you could push a piece of plexiglass into the ground, dig it out, and you could see the archaeological cutting of what's been going over all the years. Who knows what you would find underneath our streets from Astoria from the 1800s.
So you and Chad do this tour, which is, takes about an hour or so, and you decided that, because you were hearing from the hotels and from people who were coming to town, that while there's a lot to do in the daytime, you know, after 5 o'clock, people wanted something to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I hear this from restaurants, from a lot of folks. What do you do in Astoria after dark? I mean, Fort Clatsop is closed, the parks are done, the Maritime Museum's closed. They're looking for little adventures to do. So this is a perfect opportunity to have an hour of something to do in between a dinner, going home, whatever. But it's, we need more things like this. What do you do after 5? I don't know. Go to a bar, go to a restaurant.
What are some of the things that you hear? Because, you've been open about a month and a half now, and you've had very successful tours from out-of-towners who have come in and seen you on Facebook or gone to oldoregon.com. I'm not sure how they're hearing about this already, but it is starting to kind of percolate, and people are knowing that there are these underground tours available. What are some of the things, that the comments you get from people?
Oh, people love it. They thank us for the tours constantly. It's amazing. They love the history. We talk about it all, the brothels, the bars, the Shanghai, and that goes on, and clowns. You got clowns that ran down there, and like he was saying earlier, there was kids that went down there, and we actually call them gangs. You had 2 gangs that used to run down there. One was from Seaside. I won't give all our stories away, but they used the tunnels to steal stuff. And we had our
You mean to steal things from the stores who had the storage units, you know, in the underground area?
Yeah, they all connected to the stores, and that's how they came up and stole their stuff.
But now that's not feasible anymore, because really, is there anything to steal in the underground anymore?
It's almost impossible to find access to any spot underground. Almost impossible.
Okay.
They have sealed it off, closed it off.
But you found the tunnels that were not sealed off, and you created this adventure. And didn't someone used to live in one of those places?
Oh, yeah, yeah. People used to live underground. And there was one dude called Jack the Cat. Jack the Cat lived under Commercial Barbershop. He gave shoe shines, and he lived under the ground. The reason he was so comfortable there was he was a Navy guy, and he lived on a submarine for his entire career. So it meant nothing to him to be underground where there was no semblance of daytime or nighttime. It was just another minute on the clock. Wow. And he was very comfortable there, but he did shoe shines.
It takes a special kind of person who can do that. I mean, I'd be too claustrophobic. But, yeah, to live on a submarine and then, So right now you're just trying to get the word out that the Astoria Underground Tours are open, that people can go to oldastoria.com and find out more about them. I guess one of the things I think is important is that we do understand the history of this unique place, and that a lot of locals may not know all of these stories that you all now know about the underground and about Astoria and how it all fits together.
Yeah, and we always love doing stories, because almost every tour will give some story to somebody that will then give us one little bit of tidbit of information. Like one of the characters in it, we found out from John Gutenberger that he has breakfast coffee every once in a while with the great-great-great-great-grandson of one of these characters that ran brothels back then and had the underground Shanghai going on. So we learn more about Astoria, which we then, of course, appreciate sharing with the locals here, who go, I never heard that story before. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing. We learned probably a lot from the people that go on it. From even we had a cement guy that explained how the tunnels are built and why they're decaying right now from that. And then we had actually a local guy. He met Jack the Cat. He got his shoes shined by him when he came through. And then we had the class of early 60-something when they graduated, and they were just full of information. I think one of them knew some of the mole gangs that we talk about that used to run the tunnels down there.
So what do people need to know about the tour? They need to dress warmly. They need to have walking shoes.
Yeah, it could be cold. If it's raining, you're going to get drips on. You want to dress appropriately. It's sort of like riding the glam tram.
Yep.
You never know what you're going to get into or where it's going to go.
I think we need more surprise in this world. Okay, so it's so essentially, you're taking folks with hard hats and torches or flashlights through as you tell them the history and the stories of what's going on. And what else would you like the Lisianis to know about Astoria Underground Tours or about any of these things? Because we just have a few minutes left on this program now. Chad.
This is a wonderful town. You need to come and visit, and you need to come see the underground. You'll learn all the history of the town, all the highlights, the major points of it. And it's just a really unique place to visit. They said it's full of eccentric and extraordinary people. That sums up a story, I think.
It does. And we forget about, you know, we haven't thought about the underground until suddenly, you know, the pit then led Jeff to, again, another idea. And so now you get to spend your time with, it's just for groups of either 6 people or 12 people. And you've had a lot of, I know, private family groups booking. Is that pretty much the way you think it's going to go in the future?
Yeah, I think we're trying to encourage a lot of private groups, and we're getting many of those calls. They want to come down as bring their families, bring their groups. And that's the way we appreciate it. Because otherwise, we're trying to figure out what hours we want to be open to accommodate everybody.
Sure, of course. And so for the holidays, when people have, you know, family visiting from out of town, this is the perfect thing. They should just, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you, Jeff?
I would go to the oldastoria.com website, and you can contact us there, info@oldastoria, and I will be back in contact with anybody that calls and contacts, and we'll set you up with a tour.
All right, and there are some surprises that happen, and you're not going to reveal those, and that's just fine, because in
we're not spooky. It's not a scary thing. We don't try and scare people. It's full of history.
Yeah.
Although I will say that we just had a movie shot in the underground 2 weeks ago, a vampire movie. It was a location for this filming to be done for 2 days. A movie that will come out somewhere down the road. So, there are all kinds of mysteries and different ways that you can take the underground and look at it.
All right, but this is the safe way to do it with the people who know the fun stories to tell. So thank you so much, Chad Gallup, for being here in the studio today and for being so passionate about Astoria.
Thank you.
And telling people the stories of the underground. And Jeff Daly, the ongoing adventures and ventures of Jeff Daly, the one and only. And again, if you have ideas about the Glam Tram or the Joy Train and that insurance situation that Jeff is faced with right now, we want to keep these vehicles operating here in this community for our community and for the people who come to visit us here in Astoria. Thank you both so much.
Yahoo!
Astoria Underground
Tours. Thank you, Donna. Thank you for doing what you do with your show.
You can go to oldastoria.com and learn more about Astoria Underground Tours. Surprises and mysteries.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And my gratitude today to Brian Bovenizer for being the engineer of this program.
Thank you, B.
And also, really much appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. In fact, right now, take a deep breath. Oh, it's so good for body, mind, and spirit, and we often forget to breathe deeply, and that really nourishes us. So take that deep breath throughout the day. Try to remember to do that. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. However, if you think about the things that are with gratitude, that will make you feel more joyful in the moment. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. Everyone really is, to the best of their capacity. And think about how fortunate we are to be here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.